إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن ولا وبعد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Allah said, if you want to or try to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to count them. I remind you and myself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned His blessings and He told us that we cannot count them even if we try, which means that we should try. We should try to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether we can count all of them or not is immaterial. Do we count them at all? And that's very important for us to do and to continue to do. And the big reason for this is because if one counts the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that one is blessed with, then whatever difficulties, whatever trials and tribulations that you might be going through, they pale into insignificance. The biggest reason for things like depression and despair and so on, and this is a very, very big problem today. It's in depression is a very major issue in practically everywhere in the world. And the reason for that is that people get overly focused on what they don't have, or they get overly focused on the negatives which are there in their lives, and the positives they take them for granted. So it drags you down. Now obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this world a combination of both things. There are good things and there are things which are not good. There are negatives and there are positives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala left it to us to see what it is that we want to focus on. Do we want to look at the negatives exclusively or mostly, or do we want to look at the positives again exclusively and mostly? And that's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he said, look at somebody who has less than you. And the reason is two reasons for it. One is that will encourage you and help you to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has given you. And also, inshallah, it will help you to do something for those who don't have it. So that's the reason why we should concentrate and think about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, as we speak today, we are in today is the 2nd of Dhul Hijjah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us these 10 days, 9 days of before Eid al-Adha, and then the day of Eid itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us these days, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the fadail of these days, the many benefits of these days. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the worship and the good deeds that are done during these days more than He likes them when they are done at any other time. Which means that the reward of the same deed which is done in these 10 days is far, far, far higher than the reward for the same deed done outside of these days. The question to ask ourselves is, how many of us are doing those things? For example, fasting on these days, how many of us are fasting? And alhamdulillah, at least in Hyderabad, the weather is so nice that if you fast, then all you are doing is bringing forward your breakfast a little bit and delaying your lunch a little bit, and you've got the reward for fasting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, the one who fasts, Allah said, As-sawmu li wa ana ajzi bih. Awkama qala jalla jalaluhu, awkama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. This is a hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the fast is for me and I will reward it. Allah did not say specifically how much He will reward. Allah said, I will reward it. So Allah said, He will reward it. Now, if Allah said, I will reward it, obviously Allah will reward it in keeping with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's glory and majesty. The question is, how many of us are fasting? And if you are not fasting, who is stopping you from fasting? Right? These are the things that we must consciously think about and say that Allah has given me these ni'mat. What am I doing with them? If you think about it, everything that we need in terms of essentials that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided, all of that is free. We don't have to pay for air, we don't have to pay for water, we have to pay today for clean water because we destroyed the clean water. I mean, Allah gave us clean water. We polluted it, so now we have to pay for the filtered water. But otherwise, water is free. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us health. Health is free. Then we destroy it by overeating and by doing all kinds of stuff. Drug, you know, substance abuse and whatnot. And then we pay for the sins that we commit. But if we don't do that, health is free. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us good health. So, if you look at the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and think about this, that take these same 10 days. Now, these deeds that we do, if somebody had, instead of saying that you will get this reward for fasting, if somebody said you will get so much money, then think about how many people would have been fasting if you were getting paid for it. But the reality of life is that, and the world is full of examples, glaring examples, for those who have the eyes to see. The reality of the world is that whatever worldly wealth you may have, right, whatever it is, I mean, today we get very charged up if you have one flat somewhere, or you got, you know, a couple of flats and a couple of shops, and you got this piece of land somewhere. You say, oh, I'm so wealthy. What wealth? I mean, this is ridiculous to think about that. You know, Alhamdulillah, I know people whose land holdings, they don't measure in acres. They measure in square miles. Right? So, you've got a plot of land. Big deal. Who cares? That fellow's dog lives on a land bigger than what you have. So, what wealth are you talking about? We are talking about people in this city itself. Just look at our own history. Look at the number of dilapidated, breaking down palaces that are there in the city. What happened to them? Each one of those palaces was on acres of land. Nobody measured land in square yards and square meters. On acres of land. Some of them were on hundreds of acres of land. Hiram Manzil, just to give you one example. Fakhrul Mulk used to live where Nizam College, he used to actually live in the building in which Nizam College is today. Nizam College was Fakhrul Mulk's palace. Next to that was Bashir Bagh Palace, which was Asman Jah's palace. Bashir Bagh Palace today, there is no sign of it at all, completely gone, totally. Fakhrul Mulk decided that he wanted to change that place because it was noisy or something. There was some army battalion of the Nizam which was close by. They used to drill every morning, so he didn't like that sound. So, he built a palace, which is now Hiram Manzil, on the hilltop, which is your electricity board office. Now, all of you know Hyderabad. Think of Hiram Manzil. And where is Fakhrul Mulk's tomb? Fakhrul Mulk ka maqbara kahan hai? You know where ESI hospital is? TB hospital, actually, Eragada, TB hospital. Right next to TB hospital, if you are driving from here on your left, just before you come to TB hospital on your left, there is a very beautiful stone tomb. Very beautiful. It's all carved tomb. Yeah, it's a heritage building and so on. So very carved and beautiful. That is Fakhrul Mulk's tomb. Now, that tomb of Fakhrul Mulk's, he built it for his wife who died before him. That tomb was in the garden of Hiram Manzil Palace. Where is Hiram Manzil? Khairatabad. Where is Fakhrul Mulk's tomb? Eragada. That was in the garden of, it was part of his house. You've got a piece of land and you're jumping up and down. I mean, it's ridiculous. What happened to Fakhrul Mulk? What happened to the tomb? What happened to the garden? What do you think will happen to what you have? Nothing goes. The kafan has no pockets. There is no, like a friend of mine has put his on WhatsApp, that's his tagline. Huh? There is no U-Haul behind the hearse in America. You know, U-Haul is the for your goods. Right? No U-Haul behind the hearse and no pockets in your coffin. So what will you do with that? But what Allah gives you in terms of what you spend in the path of Allah, in terms of what you do for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your ibadat, your sadaqat, your fasting, your tilawat al-Qur'an, all of these good deeds. You smile at somebody, it's a good deed. You just nice to somebody, it's a good deed. You help somebody, it's a good deed. All of these are safe. Your land is not safe, your buildings are not safe. The more you have, it will only make it more difficult to die, believe me. When your roh is being extracted, it will stick in every piece of land, every piece of property that you have got. It will stick in every brick of every house. It will only make it more difficult to die. The more you have, the more difficult to die, nothing else. Unless you are spending it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only thing to change. So think about now, we've got these 10 days, out of which 2 days are gone or we have the second day, alhamdulillah. What is it that we can do in these days to fill our accounts with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, for which we can get the rewards? So as I said, Allah said, you cannot count my blessings. If you think about these things and say, what are the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the blessings is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity to worship Him. He gave us the time. He gave us peace of mind. He gave us peace in terms of our environment. There's no one shooting you. There's no bombs falling on us. There are countries where this is happening. I'm not exaggerating. As we speak, may Allah protect them. There are countries where bombs are falling. There are countries where people cannot go to a masjid and pray because of, you know, official government restrictions. You come and you pray peacefully, alhamdulillah. There are countries where people, you are not permitted to look like a Muslim. If you do that, you go to jail. Here, nothing, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the freedom. You can look like a Muslim, you can eat what you want, you can practice your religion, you can do all of this stuff, no problem. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given us incomes, Allah has given us jobs, Allah has given us money. We know, how many of us here are thinking about the next meal? You're thinking about the next meal in terms of what you should not eat, in terms of the diet, not in terms of will I get the meal or not. I'm not exaggerating. I know cases. One of the things I've been doing, I've been telling people and promoting this also, is that there are today in this city itself, there are today many families who were bigger and better than you. But today, their descendants are in conditions which you will not believe. And we don't have to go all the way back into history to look for this. Roman Empire times. 2002, this happened in Gujarat. People who owned millions, big diamond merchants, people with real estate businesses, all kinds of businesses, overnight, they were standing with a begging bowl in their hand. Overnight. And that after literally seeing their families slaughtered and burnt alive. Doesn't even happen easily. Make no mistake, it can happen to anyone. The famous quote of Disraeli, the Prime Minister of Britain, who was an atheist, he looked at a beggar and he said, there goes Disraeli, but for the grace of God. That can be me. That can be you. It can be your wife. It can be my wife. It can be your children, my children. Make no mistake. All of this arrogance is just here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can reduce that in 1 second. And that's why, forget the arrogance. Substitute that with thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Oh Allah, only by your grace Nothing else. It's not me, it's not my name, it's not my money, it's not nothing. There are, for every single one, there are people who had a million times more than you and me. Where are they today? Therefore, we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has given us and take care of those who don't have it. That is your umbrella. That is your insurance plan. Give to others, take care of those who don't have it, take care of those who are in difficulty, and inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you from that. Allah will not allow that to happen to you or to your children or to your family and so on. That is the route to go. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to make the most of all that He gives us and to be always thankful to Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.